Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, this morning we thank you. We bless you and we glorify your name. Thank you for this privilege to be alive and to be in your presence. We pray that, Lord, you will bless our hearts. First Sunday of the year, of the month, of the season. We pray that, Lord, you will minister to us. Let us know what it is to be in that secret place. Let us abide under your shadow for this year, the rest of the years that, Lord, we have. And may we make it into that glorious place. Thank you for speaking to us this morning and changing our lives. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. You may be seated, please. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 13. I want to continue preaching about serving the Lord, but I'm going into, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Remember Old Year's Night, or 31st night, you know, we started talking about, this year is our year of serving the Lord. Okay, we're serving the Lord. Somebody will ask, but have we not been serving the Lord? Well, I know, I'm not sure about you, but I believe that I can still do more. There's more to be done. I can increase in something in relation to serving God. And the Bible says that the Egyptians or the Egypt is a type of the world. Okay, there are parables, there are hidden things in the Bible, reflections of things and all of that. You have to understand when you're reading the Bible. Egypt, the people of Israel, their time in Egypt, their time away from Egypt, when they went to Canaan, all of that was just a picture of where God wants, or God wanted, the New Testament church to be. Are you listening to me this morning? And that is exactly what he has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But just to reflect, go back and you know, bring into mind what used to happen in those days. The Bible says that and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Now, you have to understand that when you live in this world and you work in this world, nobody's going to be kind to you. When you serve in this world, things are always going to be rough. See, whether you are in Guyana or you are abroad, wherever you find yourself, as long as you are living in Egypt, and Egypt is this world, and this world is any country where you'll be in. Do you get it? The Bible says that if you are going to be in Egypt, you're going to live in Egypt, you are going to serve with rigor. The people that are running the country are going to make you work for the country, whether for the betterment of the country or not. It still doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. Because whether Guyana has bridges, whether Guyana has roads, whether Guyana has buildings and big stadiums and all of that, it doesn't add anything to the kingdom of God. How many understand what I'm trying to say? We are just building a country or a city that will pass away. When you go to America, you go to Canada, you go to London, you go to Paris, wherever you go, you will be passed part of a system that has been designed to actually suck the energy out of you in trying to build the city and the country that you live in. Don't be deceived. I don't know whether I mentioned it here when I came back from America, but there was one of our pastors that I learned did a doctorate in pharmacy. You know, when you do pharmacy, unlike in Guyana where we don't even have the course pharmacy, we only have pharmacy assistant or whatever they call it. We don't even have pharmacy, but when you go to the States, they have pharmacy, but they call it PharmD. It's not a BSc, it's a doctorate straight away or it's a master's straight away. So you do it for 6 years. You get it's one of the best courses around, because when you finish, you get $10,000 to $12,000 a month in salary. But you see, that is just a figure, because you also should think about your bills that will come. The bills come just as you earn $40,000 here and your rent is $25,000. It's the same thing. He may earn $10,000, but his expenditure will be about $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. At the end of the month, that's not even anything to take care of himself. So the $10,000 shouldn't scare you so much. If it scares you, it means you were born yesterday. Now, I was told that when you do that course, what happens is that you build up a loan or a debt of around $250,000. Yes, Lord. So they give a very nice course to do, PharmD. When you finish, you are a qualified pharmacist. You will probably begin to do well. It all, you see, the prognosis, the diagnosis, the prospects, the road seems so nice and good. But behind you is about $200,000 you need to pay back as a student loan. In America, you have to go to school. And if you go to school also, you'll get a loan. And when you get a loan, it means that after school, you are a poor man because you are a servant to the person who lended you the money. You have to work for him and pay your debt. Now, I don't know how you see it. It may work, it may not work and all of that. But what it is that you are going to serve with cruelty. Rigor means to be cruel, inhumane, bad conditions. Look at us in Guyana. Look at your working condition. Look at your business. Look at how things work. Look at this, look at that. Yesterday they promoted some policemen and all of that. It's all strategic. So they will serve more, because if they have promoted you now, you have to be nice. Yeah. In this world, if you serve in this world, you are going to serve. You see, the person who is running this world doesn't like you. Koshit Sato, the GRA guy, he's excited that what they projected to collect in terms of revenue, they have realized that. It means that the money they wanted to collect from you and I, they have it. What are they going to do with it? That's a good question. Every time they collect revenue, they get more than they expect. That's why there's this guy, doctor, what's his name? There's this old black doctor. He has doctorate in economics. Professor Thomas. Thomas, Clive Thomas. Yeah, he started talking these days. I don't know where he has been all this while. These days he talks for... He's saying that the Guyanese economy is made up of thieves. Yeah, people who break the law, people who don't pay tax and all kinds of things. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to do business for real, you have to be a thief. Yeah. True. I've done business before. I used to own a Western Union and a Bell Express. I have an agency. I used to sell African clothing. I've had a shop before. I always wondered how people do business in Guyana. After that, I said, no. They probably have some supernatural power that is helping them. It didn't work for me. Yeah. I've also driven a taxi before. I've done a taxi before. I've been a taxi driver before. Even though I wasn't working 24 hours around the clock, I had 8 to 5 as my working hours. It didn't work at all. Because you can't be a taxi driver and work 8 to 5. You have to open your service 24 hours. Yeah. In trying to make ends meet. Not thief the church money, but try and earn something good for myself. Oh, it's not being easy. Yeah, because if I thief church money, you tell me something else. So I have to take my private car. You see, this car, I can't use it for taxi. That's why I don't do taxi with it. That's a joke. God has blessed me since then. So I don't need to do taxi anymore. Yeah, but I used to do taxi. 8 to 5, when I go home, just $1,000. Yeah, after I buy gas and all, I was $1,000. I said, how does this taxi people make it? Yeah, you have to be 24 hours. You have to have some customers who, even when you are sleeping, they will have to call you that they have to go somewhere. Maybe Christmas morning or some holiday, you think you and your wife and your children are trying to have a peaceful life, and here comes a call, which your wife can easily say, who is she? Why is she calling you at this time? Problems! You think you can live in Egypt and serve the God of this world and serve the country and serve things and just have peace? It is a great thing to serve the Lord. I said it is a good thing and a great thing to serve the Lord. And they made their lives bitter. That's why people run away from Guyana. You see, those of us who have not run away is because our lives are not bitter as yet. And we are trusting God that we will not be bitter in the name of Jesus. Yeah, we are not going anywhere. But what I'm trying to say is that if even them want to be okay and live here in Guyana, we must also, why should we also run away? We cannot run away. You see, you have to serve. Satan told Jesus that if you bow down before me, I will give you all these things. Let me tell you, some way or some other, you have to bow to somebody before they can give you some dollars to eat. I tell you, you have to wake up. This year, we have to really be conscious about serving God, because if you want to serve the devil, you want to serve your job, you want to serve your boss, I am telling you, you are going to, your life is going to be bitter with hard bondage. Look at how many people really build their house cash down. How many people buy things cash down? I went to a shop the other day and I bought something. It was quite expensive and I bought the cash down. I bought it and then the guy was looking at me. And I said, I want to put it in my car and take it with me. They said, oh no, if you take it to your car, they said, sure, I want to put it in my car and go. I don't want, I've paid for the thing, you can keep it in your shop. Then he looked at me and said, you know what, I'll bring it after lunch. I said, are you sure you'll bring it after lunch? Because I need it. He said, yeah, I'll bring it after lunch. And he brought it after lunch. Finish. No sweat. It is a blessing. I said, it's a blessing. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Man, I won't tell you what I bought and how much I bought it for. But I can tell you that it is a great thing to serve the Lord. You go and buy a car, high purchase. Then somebody comes to drive the car. Crash the car. You've not finished paying for the car, but it's already crashed. You see, these taxi drivers, most of them, the cars they drive is not for them. That's why they drive like that. If the car is for you, you take your time. If the minibus is for you, you take your time. I suggest that if you buy a minibus, you must be the driver or the conductor yourself. Yeah, yeah, collect the money yourself. No conductor. Yeah, collect the money yourself. Count it, put it in your pocket. You cry. Don't. Hey, you see, that's why there are certain things you can't go in on. The pressure. I have a friend who died. I believe he was cursed. Because all of us got money from an insurance company, from Boeing, the company that makes Airplanes, American company. We were living quietly in our neighborhood, and a Boeing plane came and just fell in our neighborhood. Hundreds of people died. We didn't die. So lawyers came to our aid and said, we should sue Boeing. Said, okay, we don't know suing, but let's sue them. So we sued Boeing. Everybody, the lawyers, they are bad though. He came and they told us all the things that we should say. They told us that we should say that when we sleep, then we see planes flying, we can't sleep. You see, because the thing is that if you didn't get any physical bruise or anything, you can't go and make any claim. So the next thing you can say is psychological. That one, they can't know, they can't say anything about that. You can't trace it. So they put us to go and see a psychologist. I went about three times and I stopped going. I said, I'm not crazy, man. Come on. But you see, I mean, naturally, it is okay that when you go through a plane crash, a plane accident, you know, something involved with a plane, that you get traumatized and you get nightmares and all of that. So when you write that on your report, then boy, American people, they understand what we say. Americans are one of the very fair, thin-skinned people on earth. Even if they fall on the ground and say, it's you who made them fall, they will sue you for it. Yeah. Somebody went to McDonald's and drank coffee or something, or salt, and it made damage his mouth or something. You see McDonald's for it. Don't cry. That they didn't indicate on a cup that it was hot. Be careful. In America, you did. So we sue them. And they gave us some money. And that my friend, you know, we're all in Amsterdam, Holland. And he took his own and he started doing business. So he was shipping container load of stuff from Amsterdam to Accra, Ghana. He became a businessman. You know, when you go, you sit in the plane back and forth. It's very nice. It's very impressive. Almost every other week, you know, he said, I'm going. He comes back. This, that, business, that. Hey, Charlie, the guy, wow. Goes to Ghana and you see people serving him. Say, hey, buy food for me. Hey, bring the water. Hey, stop it. Hey, come here. What more do you want? This, that, hey, it's a big man. Then things started turning the other way. People came looking for him. Somebody's looking for their money. Somebody, they gave him money and he has not supplied the goods. They say this, there's that. And then police came in and they locked his shop and this and that and that. His whole thing came crashing down. And he delivered a liver disease. He died. Christian, when we got saved, we're in a prayer group, we're in a fellowship together. He was our prayer ministry shepherd. He was the one who lead us in all nights, Friday nights, all nights, 12 midnight to 4 a.m. We go on a school field, 4 hours every Friday. Very, very powerful Christian. But when money came into his hands, he said he wanted to do business. Because he started lying to people. Yeah, instead of being, because even if sometimes you promise, but the ship doesn't arrive on time. And then when it comes, maybe the customs and all of that delays your goods. And then the amount of tax they want you to pay, that's not what you expected. So you have to go. You have to be a thief. In Egypt, in the world, our lives, if we give our lives to the world. Look at princess, look at you. Studying to be a medical doctor. Look at how you can't even do anything in a church. Fortune, gift. Look at how you can't do anything in a church. Because your studies are too much. You want an MD, medical doctor, MD, something, something. How do they call it? They will make your life better. Collect so much money from you. Eh? So much rent. So much tuition. This, that. Chinima, do you want to work for Chinima? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. You go to University of Guyana, they don't teach you anything. And then when you finish, you can't get a job. And then they say you owe them also. Yeah. How many courses can you do at the University of Guyana? I can count them. A whole university that doesn't have an assembly hall. Can you believe it? Have you thought about it? The place where people are supposed to go to have a lot of knowledge, they do not have a place to do their matriculation and all those. They don't have a place. They meet under the sun with all their brains. Prince, is it not true? With all the professors they have, their manager, they can't build an auditorium. They'll have to come to a cultural center for their things. It's Benham who built it. And you say he's not a good person. Think about it. They don't have a place to meet you. They can't even build hostels for the students who come. They don't have hostels. You, 1 year you live in on campus, you have to find your way out the second year. They don't have hostels for the students on campus. Look at the land they have. Yeah. When it rains, it turns into a river. Yeah. Ah, you're wearing your glasses like your professor, are you? Yeah, no, 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 no. Don't give yourself to this world. That's what God is telling us this year. We have to live here, but we should not be of this world. I said, but do not be conformed to this world. So they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made themselves was with rigor, with cruelty. It's like people in prison sentenced to life. I was watching a movie the other day, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme, he was a prisoner. He killed somebody. Somebody killed his wife. And he saw the guy, and the case went to court. And he didn't have any evidence, so they freed the guy. Just as they were leaving the courtroom, he took out one of the wardens, and then shot the guy in his eyes. And the guy died. And they placed him in prison. Condemned, detention, life. And as he was there, he was serving a rigor. They went to build a railway track. And at one of those moments, somebody pushed him. And one of the guards came and said, "What's happening?" He said, "He disrespected me." He said, "Okay, give him, let him show him that he should respect you." Oh, they beat him. Bah. They beat the guy. Oh, they beat him. Then they got to a point when he was very, very weak. They said, okay, he will learn how to respect you now. Hey, that's how life is. Oh, life without God, not serving God. That's how it is. Oh, Samuel, yeah. Exodus chapter 4 and 12. 4 and 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Is it to somewhere? Is it 12? So last time I said 12, but I was looking for some. Is it 20? Give me 20. No, 22. Yeah, 22. 23. "Israel is my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go." That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to tell the devil, "Let my people go. Go. They are not going to serve you anymore." Let me tell you, there are so many things that God has in store for us. That's why the Bible says that it takes the blessing of the Lord to become rich. You see, the Lord whispered this thing into my heart when I was getting ready to come. He said that, what we need to feel blessed is not what the world gets to say they are blessed. Should I say it again? You see, we live in this world. So what is happening is that our standards and the standards of the world in terms of riches are the same. That you may have something and you may not see the blessings in it. But let's say if you have a vehicle, then you see the blessings in it, because that is very obvious. The world sees it also. But God was telling me that what he gives us in his kingdom and as his children is not what is seen in the world as a valuable thing. You get it now? So let's say God will give you a church, a good church, but you don't understand. Church? Good church? What do you mean by good church? I want a house. I mean, I need food to eat. I need money in my pocket. You say good church. What is a good church? Because what is happening is that what in the kingdom of God is prosperity or wealth or riches is not the same as in the world. I don't know if you get me now. So you may have a certain privilege. You may have a certain opportunity. You may have a church. You may have a very quiet life. But you don't like it. Yeah, you do, because the way we see things must be very different from the way the world sees things. In terms of prosperity, let my people go. And if thou refuse that he may serve me, let my son Israel go that he may serve me. God's desire is that you and I will serve him. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. And why is it a great thing to serve the Lord? Let's look at the first scripture we looked at on ODS night. Malachi chapter 3. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Do you know the song? It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing. Oh, when did you get born again? To serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve. I'm sure Orange Senior knows the song. Walk in the light of God. Oh, it's an old time song. If we are born again in 1970s, you should have known. The reason, the first reason why it is a great thing to serve the Lord is this, that those who serve the Lord are different from those who don't serve the Lord. This thing should stay in your mind. Then shall you return and discern, distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. It's a difference between the people who serve God and those who don't serve God. Yeah. If you don't serve God, serving God means you are very active in God's house. You are doing something for God. It means you are the servant of God. And think about it. If somebody is a servant in your house, he definitely will have a room you sleep in your house. Even being a servant of the Lord means that you are even close to the Lord. Because the food he eats, the same food you also eat. God will not eat and give you something else to eat. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah, your servant eats the food that you also eat. You don't cook something for yourself and you say, go and buy something on the road. No. So in a certain sense, and in all respects, being a servant of the Lord is advantageous. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. And scripture says that when you serve the Lord, God will make a difference between you and then those who don't serve the Lord. Look at a house that has God in the house. It's very different from a house that doesn't have God in it. There's a lot of chaos, a lot of fighting. The children are delinquent. The children are disobedient. The children are very rough, very hard. There are all kinds of things. But the house where God is, it's very different. It's very different. Yeah. Look at you and I. As we grew up and we didn't follow the Sunday school our parents used to take us to. Look at the way we went. Yeah. I tell you. I just discovered something that I didn't know for all these years. I sent somebody a happy New Year wish. The person sorted me out though. I was very shocked. Yeah, a friend that we all grew up in the same area with. Oh. The person sent me a message some time ago about some picture of an angel in a cloud to explain it or something. I don't mean this thing. But I've kept the message for all this. So as I during the New Year, I said, you know what, let me just respond to this message and then wish the person a happy New Year. Oh. I mean, I don't understand the person's reaction. But it taught me a lesson. That probably, whilst we were growing up, there are certain things that were done that people have never forgiven you or forgotten about. I tell you, I was very surprised. All that I've been praying, the Lord, have mercy on me. If I've hurt anybody 20 years ago, please forgive me. That's my lesson. Because the person's reaction, let me tell you, is uncalled for. Something as simple as, Oh, Merry, Happy New Year to you and your, is it your child or your children? Just that one. She was, the person was offended. Who do I think I am? That if you have one child and so what? I read between the lines and I say, you know what? Maybe she's coming from a certain angle that I don't have an idea about. I said, me? Happy New Year, I'll keep it for myself. I keep my Happy New Year. But look at me, I'm just walking. Even let's say if I did something to the person, how many years ago? All people were children, whatever. I mean, look at how I am serving the Lord with my free mind. I mean, innocent. Not knowing that this person probably have something that they've held into. I got saved in 1989. You're fetching me long. Years of fetching. I pray that nobody's fetching you also so long. You may never know limited. They say you never know it's true until it happens to you. 1989. And the person began to bring out some things that me have forgotten. Hey! He said, you, we know you. Who do you think you are? I said, oh. I'm just wishing Merry Christmas. I just wanted to make sure that I'm using the right child or children. Hey! Because the person has one child. So I think she felt that, you know, I'm teasing her. Somebody even doesn't have a child. You see, I realized that no, it's not about that. There's something inside. The person doesn't want to say, it's too fantastic. Hey, Shawin, Tinko. Yeah. It's a new year. Think, 1924. Yeah. I tell you. What a ride. Limousine ride. But you see, you serve the Lord, your heart is clean, your hands are clean, and somebody is has things.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're preaching.
Jacob's uncle, Laban, made a similar statement. He told Jacob one day that, you know what, me, I don't know this God, I don't serve God. But since you have been in my house, I've seen that my sheep, they multiply. He said, in effect, what he was trying to say is that I knew the state of my business before you came into my life. Yeah. I knew who I was. I knew that one sheep, before I can even get another sheeplet, is this sheeplet they call it? Or lamb. A female sheep is sheepsess or sheeps or something. Sheepist. Yeah. You realize that the amount of cattle, sheep, goats he had, and even the trouble, the difficulty, the diseases, and how difficult it was to bring them from one state to another. He realized that when Jacob came into his life and he gave Jacob charge over his sheep and his goats, he realized that no. That's a difference here. He said, no. This guy has something about him. There's a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. That's why it's a great thing for you and I this year, to serve the Lord, this year, to give our all, this year, to spend time, this year. If you used to live here in the night, you have to live here in the morning. I mean, after the service, I'm going to give you the opportunity to write something down. Something you've not done before for the Lord. This year, not just in January, but the whole year. It's Covenant Sunday today. In Covenant Sunday, we tell God about something. What can I do? We think we've been working hard. We think we've been serving God. Serving? People were serving. Look at what they were doing in Egypt in those days. They were serving with rigor, hardness. What kind of hard thing have you been doing in the house of the Lord or for the Lord? What have you been doing? It's a great thing to serve the Lord. One of the most fascinating things that you come across in the Bible is when Pharaoh, was it Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And he forgot. And he said, I want somebody who can tell me the dream I had and explain the dream. Bye. You. We don't even know what food you ate when you went to sleep. That has given you some dreams. Cook up. That's your best food. Praise. Now, you have eaten, you go to sleep, you've had a dream. You have forgotten the dream. You want somebody to tell you the dream you had and to explain it. What a task. The Bible says that, he called all his wise men and astrologers. People who were who had degrees in studying the stars and all kinds of things. In dreams. I mean, there's no dream that they can explain to you. If you say, I dreamt that I was in a coffin, they say, oh, you are going to have a party. Ah, a wedding is coming. Well, I had a dream and it was raining. So it's blessings. All kinds of things people say. But when Nebuchadnezzar needed somebody to explain, tell him the dream he had and to explain it, nobody was able to do that. The Bible says, somebody said, there's somebody called Daniel. And they said, in him is the spirit of the gods. Let me tell you, it's a great thing to serve the Lord. Daniel, one person, made a clear difference between himself, those who serve God, and those who don't serve God. He told Nebuchadnezzar, just give me a few days, I'll come back to you. The guy went, came back with a dream, came with the explanation of the dream. To make a clear difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. Let me tell you, when you serve God, you can know what is going to happen tomorrow. You'll not be someone who writes stars and Sagittarius and Aries and these things in the newspaper. Who doesn't know anything about tomorrow but wants to talk about tomorrow? You will know and you will say it. Bible says, when Jacob was going to die, he prophesied about his bones. He knew that a few years from now, God was going to set his people free from Egypt to Canaan. He said, when you are going, take my bones with you. I'm sure we would like to know what's going to happen in December this year. Figuera, don't you want to know what's going to happen December 24th this year? Yeah? If the people on Air Asia, from Indonesia to Singapore, if they knew that day. Somebody forwarded me an email this morning. He said a particular church lost 41 members. They were all on board. So the pastor's church has reduced by 41 people. All of a sudden, he's doing 41 funerals. Yeah. Yeah, the people on Air Asia, 41 of them were belong to one church. If only they knew, they would have waited for the next day. People were going to Singapore to usher in the new year. That's the plans they had. And that's how people do, you know. Some people travel. I'm going to Paris to spend the new year. I'm going to London for the new year. I'm going to New York for the new year. People do that. Yeah, we just go to Escape for the new year, which is also nice. Yeah, that's what we have, SeaWorld for the new year. I hear a big whale came on shore or something. Oh man, I should have been here to see it. Ah, wash out. You couldn't carry it. Man. Big. God is very wonderful. He creates fishes like that. How many years are you going to eat such a fish? Michelle. When you finish, even with the tail, you get fed up with fish. That's the type of fish that swallowed Jonah. You can understand. This one is even a baby fish or some baby whale or so. Yeah, the big one swallows you. In the whale stomach, it's like a four-bedroom apartment. Yeah, you can go here, go here, go here, go here. Kitchen, toilet, bathroom. Noah, you can be like Noah. Yeah. If those people knew that that was what was going to happen, they would have not traveled. God is able to show you what's going to happen tomorrow. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. I said it's a great thing to serve the Lord. God will make the difference very clear. Now, in closing, the servant of a rich man is different from the servant of a poor man. Or a child from a good home is different from a child from a bad home. True or false? True. If you come from a good home, it's clear. Your manners, your speech, the way you dress, the way you address people, the way you approach people is very different. If you don't come from a good home, you dare about all the place. Yeah, you as a you're a grasshopper. Hey. When I talk about home, I remember what my mother used to beat me about when I eat in the neighbor's house. Hey, licks. There's a name. I don't know if you have a name like that in Guyanese, Creolese. There's a name we call you when you eat in your neighbor's house. There's an adjective we used to qualify you. Oh, yeah, it's like you like eating in people's homes. That's something we have in our culture. So you don't want to eat about. So if you come from a good home, when you go to the offer, you say, "Oh no, I'm okay." Right. Meanwhile, you're hungry because they'll call you and say, "You like eating in people's places." Hey, you know when you were a schoolboy, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I don't know what age I was, but I remember. We go to our friends' homes, we play football, and then the mother will say, "Hey, you are, it's okay, come and eat." Yeah. And then your friend will say, "Come." And I'll go and say, "Let me go and eat, go eat." When we go, my mother will take my hand like this, and she'll smell it. Walk, walk, walk. Because you know we use our hands to eat a lot. I mean, cutlery is white man thing. Mm-hmm. So we use our hands. This is God's fork and knife and spoon He gave us. I can cut things with my hand. I can take it and eat it. That's why there's a particular hand you use to walk, clean yourself when you go to the washroom. Because you can't eat with this and use that same hand also. So when you come, the best thing to do, because the stew, the soup and all of that, you see, spices with meat and pepper and ginger and also, it doesn't stay, it doesn't go away. So when you come, say, "Hey, you want to eat?" Say, "No, mommy." Say, "Bring it on." Then she smelled, she go and take, there's a wooden ladle that is used to make what we call, you know, make this corn, you know, corn dough and all of that. That wouldn't do that. Or she would put bentua in your anus. You know bentua? Yeah, we had this, how do you call it? Is it syringe you call it? Uh-huh. She put pepper, water, pepper, ginger, and some spices. Princess, they do that to you before when you were a child. And then put it in your anus. And then, psh, and then the whole thing goes into, I give you 3 seconds, you go to the washroom. Then she'll tell you, "Don't go and eat in people's homes. You don't eat again in people's homes." Start your pitch, please, my time is up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we move on to write what we're going to write this morning, as a covenant, we want to make a covenant with God that this year, Lord, I'm going to serve you, but practically or specifically, what do you do to serve the Lord? We're going to go to that, but this morning you are here. You're not saved. You're not born again. The first Sunday of the year, You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I die right now, I don't know where I would go. You want to be sure. You want to be sure where you would go. If you are here like that, I'm going to pray with you first. Just your right hand up high so I can know, and I'll pray with you. Every eye closed, please. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I'm not sure. If I was in Air Asia and I was going, I'm not sure whether I'll go into the water or I'll go somewhere else. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I give you praise and I thank you in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Wow.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.